The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our best ever Wi-Fi all around your home, your world is limitless.
The phone's just melted. Everyone wants a holiday. We get it. So keep on trying, and you might come on with us. 1850-715-900 for that beautiful 500 euro voucher for originalirishhotels.com. Good stuff. Donal Lynch. Good morning, Donal.
Good morning, Ryan. How are you?
It's really nice to talk to you. It's not often that somebody gets in touch to say, listen, I really just want to say thank you. And we'll get to that in a few minutes' time. But thanks for coming on with us this morning. How are you doing?
No, I'm not too bad. It's probably a strange place to be, but this is the way life is, and we have to take what's thrown in front of us.
That's for sure. Bring us back. Bring me back to a happy time in your life, Donal, when you met Carmel.
Yeah, Carmel was not living too far. We were both from the Stole.
Yeah.
You know, we just clicked. It was we were married 21 years this year.
Mm-hmm.
21 very happy years. And I suppose Carmel was one of those people who was selfless, and that came true in the last number of months. But all through her life from the very start, she was the ideal homemaker, that compulsive worrier about David and myself's future. And she made the perfect life for us. And I'm so grateful in so many ways.
And what were you doing for a living?
I sell cars for a living in McGarrigle in Tralee.
And Carmel?
Carmel was a secondary school teacher. And she spent time in Carlow and parts of Cork and for finally settling in Abbeyfield.
And what did you like to do together? When did you have some crack?
We done the norm things very nicely. I think Carmel was one of those people, and I was. We liked our animals, that seaside walk, the odd sun holiday. We had our own little kingdom here with cats and dogs and horses, and you know they ruled the order of our day. And it was kind of that magical life in ways, you know. And we were like Dave, myself, and Carmel. We were three peas in a pod. We led relatively private lives. And it's her loss is immense.
You
live that way.
Of course, I can, especially as you describe it. But as you say, in Listowel, you've got what, race week? Would you have been regulars?
Oh, we would have been. And Carmel's grandfather was a founding member of the committee.
Oh.
I know serving that committee. And she was very proud of where she came from. It was a great piece of pride with Riders Week you attend, and the race meeting. And it is a very nice town to grow up in and live in. There's a great buzz about it.
I probably passed you by in the street once.
Probably did. We passed you in the arms one morning, I'm sure, one Saturday morning a few years ago.
Did you say hello?
Yeah, Cam was bursting to say hello to you anyway, but you're probably busy at the time.
No, she should have said hello. What happened in March then, just gone by, when we were all starting to feel the world was caving in on us?
It was actually March 19.
Yeah.
And I suppose people have been, and Carmel sadly passed away in June of 20. I suppose I was prompted initially to contact your researchers because I've got so many nice letters and cards from various people. And this one from a customer of mine really struck a note when she quoted the poet Michael Faber, who lost his wife to cancer. And he said, "All I can do in what remains of my life is mention to whoever cares to listen that a woman once existed who was kind and beautiful and brave. And I will not forget how the world was altered beyond recognition when we met." And that struck a chord with me, just those words. And in Carmel, since March 19, her bravery and selfless approach to her illness was truly inspirational. And this is why I rang you, because today, tomorrow, and last week and next week, there are people coming out of various doctors, surgeries and consultants who are getting terrible news. But thankfully, to the advances of medicine, some will have a happy outcome. But for others like Carmel, I remember that day quite clearly when we were told she was diagnosed with a brain tumour in March. And within a few weeks, we were told the dreadful news that you'll never drive again, you'll never teach again, and you have 12 to 15 months. And what really is amazing is how Carmel normalised her life. we've done the normal things so nicely. We still pot around the stall doing things in that nice way. And I think the only way she was able to do it was that she was a person of immense faith, and she trusted in God's will. And we had great people around us, like the local parish priest, Father Declan. There was a man, Michael O'Connor, who had great devotion to Padre Pio, and Father Vincent of the Frari, who kept her motivated and kept her spirits alive in her quest for peace and her quest for a miracle. And that's what kept her going through all this badness and sadness, was this quest for a miracle. And if ever anybody asked Carmel and I, we were out about living our normal lives, she said, she'd smile gently and say, "I'll get my miracle." And it's hard to go through it.
I can only, I can't imagine actually, but when you had that 12 to 18 months together and you were trying to get on with your lives as normal, what were you constantly thinking, the clock is ticking, or did you manage to live in the moment?
We lived in a probably bubble of denial.
Okay. Oh, yeah, well, yeah. Leave
and
that.
It's the only way we could probably cope. But in fairness to Carmen, she was able to almost instruct me what to do as well, and she kept little projects. Like, for example, whenever we were going for treatment, we were never going for treatment. It was always to get something in a shop or collect something. We had the most wonderful Christmas last year that was 3 months in the making, because every time we went for somewhere for consultation or treatment, we were getting something for Christmas or getting something for somebody else. Mm. So it was normalised, and we went from one project to the next, and it kept us sane, really.
When did palliative care come into your lives?
Last August, in August 19, things were getting a little bit tough, and no treatment was working. Anything they tried, and they were an unbelievable team in Limerick. Dr. Carpenti, he had a great sense of humanity and empathy, mm-hmm. along with our GP, Dr. Dynan, who translated the information in a layman's terms to what was going on. And then we were referred to the team in Tralee under the guidance of Dr. Patricia Sheehan, who's an unbelievable person, really. And all I can say is she has the ability to put a team around her that are moulded exactly like herself. And one of the things that palliative, I suppose, initially strikes, it does, to be honest, it sends a shiver down your spine, really. There's a finality about it. There's a worry that this is the end. But I think the name they have in the centre inside entry is Soothness, and it means care and support. And our initial thoughts were immediately wrong when we met them, because it was support. And they liaised with, I suppose initially with support for me as a husband and carer, to have this second backup along with the GP and the oncology ward, that you had these people calling to the house. They were very in tune with and aware of what was happening. I wasn't, or we weren't. We were still semi-unaware of the severity of how things could go. But I remember Geraldine would call in the most thoughtful way, and they'd go back and they'd chat to... She'd go back and chat to Dr. Sheehan, who would liaise with Dr. Carpenti and Dr. Dynan, and they would just come up with the best solution so that Karma could live her life as normal as possible in the best way. And that's all she wanted.
And they endeavoured to normalise
unbelievable way.
Her room, the bed sheets,
everything. It was just their job was to make life easy for Carmel. Mm. And then, we kind of followed along and everything was fine. And, sometimes Carmel would say, "There's no need for them to call." She was trying to live a little bit in denial, but they were always there and aware. And I remember from February, March onwards, things started to get a bit tougher and pain was hard. And we went in on the 21st of May to have a consultation with Dr. Sheehan. And for someone like Carmel and myself, who were apprehensive, they took the worry out of it. We met 5 most amazing people that day, and they just laid the foundation for Carmel, having the most unbelievable happy, and happy is a funny word to use when you're in such a sad place, but these people are just inspirational. The way, and even the way it's set up, the culture in there. I remember talking to a Dr. Romer one day, and I said, Anne, who was head of nursing, I said, who interviews these people? And there's just an amazing support group, and the place itself, like I remember Tim, he was a healthcare assistant, and Jean Brown, the nurse, they were two nice people that evening, and there was a Kira physio, and along with Dr. Sheehan, and she said, you should come in, Carmel, and we'll get you back on track, and of course it was pain relief she was in for, and Carmel, I suppose, she said, I'll leave you be, have a chat among yourselves, and the door was hardly closed, and Carmel said, I want to come in.
Yeah.
And we were showed this beautiful, like, this is like an apartment out in Lanzarote or somewhere. It was a non-suite room with patio furniture, patio doors on the garden, furniture in a beautiful garden. Mm. And they were so nice and positive. It was like someone taking you up to a hotel room. And the next morning, I remember Carmel said to me, I wouldn't mind if I had to come back here again.
Mm.
And that's the difference these people make to someone who has a bad prognosis.
Can I ask you when Carmel died, Donal?
She passed away on the 9th of June.
And were you beside her?
It was... I was there with David, the three of us together. We went in, as I said, the 21st of May for pain relief.
Yeah.
At the 31st of May, I remember the weather was very fine. I remember walking around the garden down the morning and the evening because it was very warm, and she said, I hope they won't give me a walking aid, you know, because things were getting tough. Mm. And the 1st of June, we were married 21 years, and she never woke. And I remember the next few days, it was evident from what they were telling me that this tumour had reactivated and they couldn't do anything about it. But she laughed, she cried, she talked, she joked with those nurses and the team in there. And it was like as if, genuinely, there was nobody else in the hospital bar Carmel. And there was no other family barrows. We got that feeling. She just said, all the time in the world, they were the most unbelievable bunch of people that made such a difference at such a difficult time.
And it sounds like they were so invested in Carmel, in her story, in your lives.
I've never experienced anything in my life to compare.
Really?
Nothing.
Because you're describing, Donal, what has to be the most harrowing, difficult thing to happen to a person, to a father, husband, and yet you're describing it with a sort of an admiration and a sense of contentment almost.
Well, look, life is tough and there's dark hours, but the consolation we got from the support that Dr. Sheehan and our team gave us was just unbelievable. And not just me and David, but my Carmel's sisters, Olive and Ona, and my own family. They just couldn't have done anymore. And I hate singling out anybody, but I remember there was a Bridget and Denise, they were nights for three nights. And you can imagine someone, the example of this devotion to their vocation,
mm-hmm.
coming in at some hour in the morning, so 3 or 4 o'clock, making Carmel comfortable, and going to her bag and taking out her own creams and rubbing them on her hands and face. And I remember that same nurse, Bridget, in the last 2 days, she not only had her unbelievable nurse's hat on, but she took over the motherly role for David and put her under her wing in the most unbelievable way. I remember the Tuesday the 9th, a very nice house after Dr. Melissa and Bridget called us out. And every time I was called out, David was called out. And they told us, look, she's getting weak. It'll be today or tomorrow. And Bridget just caught me by the arm and said, let yourself and Dave go in your own. Because, you know, there was relations and sisters and so on. You know. And we went in and we said, oh, bitch. And she picked that time from just the three of us there together.
Yeah, she knew.
She knew. If I told you what you did for David in that evening, do you know, kind of, it was just, you know, she could retire with an Oscar, do you know, kind of for the performance she put on.
Yeah.
And that was just typical of the kindness. And that's why that card that the lovely lady sent me inspired me to ring your people, because these people made such a difference. Like in January of 19, we were to have a special year. We were planning a year. We were both 50. We were married 20 years. And in March 19, our world changed. Mm. But we met the most special people from March 19 to June 20. That'll leave an everlasting memory in my mind, and I'm so grateful. And what I really want to do, really, and I'd want to be going on with, is that these people work tirelessly for the good of others, and yet they have to worry about fundraising. And I just say to anyone, in January, February of 19, we were living normal lives, and never would I have thought they were talking to Ryan Tuberty or talking about palliative care. But the difference they've made to our lives is unbelievable. And they can only prompt people in whatever way they can to support their local palliative care and hospice for the work they do for so many people. I was never asked ever what I did, or they never asked Carmel what she did. They just treated us. And they do. And what I hear is that they're the same to everybody.
How have you been, Donald? How are you getting on?
Oh, it's a tough place to be.
Of course it is.
You know, we had a nice life.
Yeah.
You know where you go home, you know, when how bad your day is, you have someone to talk to and confide in. And she's just not there anymore. And I'm glad, I'm lucky that we have David, because he's a carbon copy of Carmel in so many ways. Do you know kind of way she's... We just have each other for support. And to be honest, we've been so lucky in ways, in that we have an unbelievable family. Carmel's sisters are Owen and Olive. My own family have been unbelievably helpful. My own employers, even. Patrick and Destiny and McGillicutt gave FO to me the time off so I could spend time with Carmel and David. And that time, a cherished time that I'd never get back. And even COVID, there was positives. David was here for how many months with Carmel? There was no watch. We were just three people together living life the best we could. And that's what inspires me more than else about her, that I have to pull myself together. That she was setting flowers and all these things, and them same flowers that she set around the garden, they're up in her grave today. You know, so it's just...
I hear you. You never know the time or the place.
No,
and we make our plans
just,
and then unfortunately fate has other plans, doesn't it?
And you just have to have balance in your life and do the best you can.
As Moira has sent out a tweet to say, Donal and Carmel were pure listowel, a gorgeous couple.
Thank you, Moira.
You know, and there's a lot of people relating to your story this morning. And a text says, if I may say something, please, I think that lovely lady Carmel got her miracle in a way, leaving this lovely man her strength and courage and love to carry on with their equally, I'm sure, strong son. It's a miracle. These medical staff are indeed wonderful people, and God bless them all. Donald, I hope I meet you sometime down in Listowel.
We'll definitely meet up this time.
I'd like that.
That'd be great. And thanks for giving me the opportunity. And
no, please, thank you.
All I want to do is to erase any fears that people have or worries, because these people are just unbelievable support.
Listen, our very best to you and to David and your extended family. And thank you for remembering Carmel in such an eloquent and kind, loving way today, and to allow us to check ourselves on occasion to remember the people in palliative care in homes and hospices around the country who are maybe working in reception or cleaning the floors or nursing, whatever they might be doing. But carryhospice.com, if people want to respond in some class of financial donation to your story today, even though I know that's not what you were on to say. But thank you for telling us your story, Donald. It's beautiful, it's sad, but I think it's necessary what you did today. So thank you.
Thanks very much, Ryan. I really appreciate
it. I'm wishing you every good wish and great love from us all here.
Okay, excellent. Thanks again.
You mind yourself. We'll see
all
you soon,
best.
I hope. Thank you, Don. Thank you so much.
I know, thanks.
10 to 10 this Monday morning. And as Dolan says, a brave man and timely reminder of the heroic work done by our friends in the world and area of palliative care. And I hope they know how grateful we are to them this morning.